We both note an all-time low. As we discussed this, we both agreed that a decade or so ago, the core leaders of our churches normally seemed to attend church about 5 out of every 6 Sundays or so. Less committed churchgoers would attend with less regularity, perhaps about half the time. Sadly, it seems that the core leaders today only tend to attend church about half the time, about 2 Sundays per month, and the less committed attend even less than that. He continues to write, "This is a tragic shift, and nationwide figures seem to be showing the exact same trend. People just don't seem to be all that into God anymore. People are clearly busier than ever, and that does not help the situation. Others have been hurt or disillusioned by churches or religious people, so they use that as a reason for why they do not attend church often. However, most people just seem to be looking for something better to do on Sunday mornings than go to a church to worship and learn about God and His ways. Golfing, sleeping, sports, and many other things turn out to be that better option for them than church." And there was one line in there that I found especially troubling. People just don't seem to be all that into God anymore. When you look around your neighbors, your family, your friends, are you finding the same, that people just aren't into God anymore? There was a time when our nation would be a nation on its knees in prayer, and the whole nation would pray, and we were a nation that proclaimed being a nation under God. But has it been that we've become so affluent that we don't need God? That people just don't need God anymore because we're so self-sufficient and we have more than we need? Is that where we've become as a nation? It seems to be a trend that's spreading across our country. Well, today I want to look at reasons why attending church, attending worship, should be the norm in our life and not the exception. And that missing should be the exception and not the norm. First of all, the church is God's idea and plan for rescuing the lost and maturing the saved. The church is God's idea. It's not our idea. It's not man's idea. This is God, the Creator, who's given us instruction in His Word. The church is His idea from the beginning. Ephesians 3:8-10 says this, "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints," the Apostle Paul writing, "this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." The church, God's idea to display God's manifold wisdom. To us, it's a mystery when we consider creation, that all things were made through Christ and by Jesus. And for Jesus. Now Jesus asked His disciples, "Who do they say that I am?" Some say, the disciples responded, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah." A couple weeks ago we talked about the 4 cups of the Passover. There are actually, in many Passover meals, a 5th cup. It's called the Elijah cup. It's anticipation of the return of Elijah to announce the coming Messiah. But we know the Messiah is Jesus, that He came. And they said, "Some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're one of the prophets, but who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And He was saying, you are the Messiah. You're the one we're waiting for. You are the Christ, the Son of living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Did he build his church upon Peter? No, he built his church upon the confession that he made that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He built his church upon those who would confess Jesus as the Christ. The church was founded upon the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And when I read this the other day, I was intrigued. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities, not on the earth, but in the heavenly places. What does that mean? I was so intrigued by that. And as this is on my mind the other day, I saw a commercial for the Lion King. I think it was 25 years ago that the Lion King, the animated version, came out. Now there's a new CGI version of the Lion King that the animals, it all looks real. But I couldn't help but remember in that movie that Rafiki, he holds up Simba as he stands on Pride Rock for all the world to see. And I was, in my mind's eye, imagining God the Creator holding up His church in the heavenly realms and saying, this is my pride and joy. This is what it's all about. This is why we created the heavens and the earth. This is why Jesus had to die on the cross. That's why He became one of them. This is my joy and crown as He holds up the church before all the heavenly realms to display a mystery for us, but His manifold wisdom. The joy, we are His joy and crown. The church, it's us. It's His people coming together. The gathering of the saved, and He loves it when the saved come together and encourage one another and love one another and serve one another. Don't miss it. Don't miss out. When God lifts up His church, are you there? Now, when a person lives in a way that says, I don't need the church, I don't need the church to be a Christian, I can be a Christian and not go to church, then that is one who is departing from God's plan. By saying, my plan is better than His. I don't need the church because my plan is better than God's church, God's plan. But the church is vital as you become like the people with whom you spend the most time. I've read this and heard this many times recently, that you are the sum of the five closest people. That your value system will be shaped by those closest to you. That you are a composite of the five closest around you. So if you want to spend eternity in heaven, then you surround yourself with people that want to spend eternity in heaven. If you want to be a Christ follower, then you surround yourself with other Christ followers. And this is more than going to church, because there are people who are churchgoers who aren't necessarily Christ followers. But I'm not sure there are Christ followers that miss, as a regular habit, a gathering with other believers, whether it be in a house church, whether it be two or three in a small village. Christ followers value the church. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and He gave Himself up for her. Christ loves the church to the point that He said, I love the church this much. I died for the church. And that's how much I want you to follow me and love my church. That you would die for my church. And He compares it to marriage, the relationship as a husband for his wife. No wonder Satan is attacking marriages in our world. because he wants to destroy the image of the church. He loves the church. And he loves it when his people serve each other and deny themselves. They take up their cross for one another. To be the son, to be the daughter, to be the husband, to be the wife, to be the father, to be the mother, the financial manager, the employee, the employer, the brother, the sister, the neighbor that God desires you to be, then you must surround yourself with people who are seeking after God. You can't do that anywhere other than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Value the church as Christ values the church, for you and your family need the voice of the church to counteract all the lies that are fed throughout the week. And your children are being fed lies throughout the week from a fire hydrant. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And the devil is alive and he is well and he is real and he is at work in this world and he is deceiving. And he's deceived us all. Look at our nation. We've been convinced that we need to spend our whole lives working and saving to send our kids to college and universities. And yes, that is important to get an education. But we've got to be very careful because many parents are spending their life savings to send their children to be indoctrinated and led away from the values that they hold to as a family. For 40 years, I've heard the statistic that 80-some percent of faith-believing teenagers of faith, 80-some percent lose their faith in a secular college or university within the first 6 months. They're being deceived that there's no God. The Bible's irrelevant. You don't need the church. Jesus also says, "Why do you call me Lord but don't do the things I say?" As he confronts in John 8 those who reject him. If you abide in my word, you are my true disciples. Verses 43 through 45, why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. I mean, he's speaking to religious people here. These are Jewish religious leaders who are looking for the Messiah, looking for the coming Christ, which he is, and they are rejecting him. These religious elites, and he's saying, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. The father of lies is alive, and he is filling our TV stations with lies and propaganda. He is filling our education system with lies and propaganda. He's taken over many of our universities and colleges that are throwing out any resemblance of Christianity, any organization that proclaims Christ, even a Chick-fil-A because they hold the Christian values. We're going to throw them off of our campus. That's where we are. The father of lies is alive and well. Who are you giving the most influence on your life to? Who are you handing over the keys of influence in your life? The keys to your heart and mind. Who are you turning them over to? When you reject the Lord on the first day of the week, it makes it easier to reject Him the other 6 days of the week. And when you reject the Lord, in a way you're saying, there are far more important things in my life to me than the Lord Jesus and His church. Matthew 10:32-33 says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men," and we deny in our actions and our words, "I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven." Hebrews 10:24-25, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." If you don't value the church, there's a greater chance that your children won't value the church. You need to counteract what the world is filling into your heart and mind and your children's heart and mind. And not only should we value the church, to surround ourselves with people of same values. God has gifted you for the purpose of serving in His church. Ephesians 4:11-12, "And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." 1 Corinthians 12:4-7, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." You are here for a specific purpose. God knitted you together in your mother's womb. You have a unique set of skills and gifts, and God wants to use your gifts. He designed them in you for a purpose, for building up the church, for bringing Him glory. And we're not all gifted the same. Look at your brother, your sister. You're not alike. My brother didn't even have to take home books, and he got straight A's. It was easy for him. I had to work hard for my B's and C's. But I have more of a mechanical mind and figure out how things work. I was talking with someone the other day, said talked the same way about he and his brother. I said, "Yeah, I'm very mechanical. I can figure things out." And in fact, he is a mechanic. And he said, "My brother, he doesn't have a mechanic bone in his body." He said, "My brother drove his car, one of his cars, till it blew up. The engine burned up. There wasn't coolant in the radiator." And he said, I don't know what happened. I kept putting coolant in it, but he was putting it in the windshield wiper reservoir. We're all gifted differently. We're all unique. And God specifically designed you. He created this world. We discover that all things, Jesus was there in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That all things were made by Him, for Him, and through Him. And it was His plan to build His church. And He gifted every one of you to serve in His church for a specific gift, specific purpose. Rick Warren put it this way: "God gave me a gift, not for me, but for you. And God gave you a gift, not for you, but for me. If you don't use your gift, you're depriving me. If I don't use my gift, I'm robbing you." Watch this video of Nick Vujicic.
Why he was born that way, I'm like, perfect.
Nick doesn't have the same gifts you have. He's not gifted in the same way you are. But he came to the realization that God had gifted him so that the works of God would be displayed through him. And God has gifted you. You are uniquely you. So the works of God will be displayed through you. But it starts with a surrender. That I'm surrendering my life to you for your purpose. Show me your purpose in your church, in the body, in the family. Show me. It takes surrender. And it takes commitment and devotion. We find the early church was devoted. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. They were devoted to prayer. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to one another. And through that devotion, the works of God were displayed. And daily they saw people coming to Christ because the church was the church. Heavenly Father, when we're not